Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
How many browser tabs do you have open when we start the show?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven?
Yeah, but it started doing this thing where every time I click a new one, it gives me an additional one. So really, I only need...
You get a BOGO on your browser tabs?
Yes. It's so annoying. It's like a sticky map. I don't know what it
What's is. What's it trying to open? Is it just duplicating it?
Do you want another new browser?
Here's another one.
Hey.
Here's a fresh, here's a clean sheet.
Yeah, it's BOGO browsers.
That's weird.
I don't know why.
I just thought it odd. I'm like, show starting, like, open the weather page, open our website, email,
yeah,
Facebook. Like, does anybody just go to work and always have four browsers open? Probably. Or four pages?
These are the things.
These are the things. That's the way it goes now, right? Multitasking.
The things that I have to have. Yes.
But you get twice as much.
And a useless in there. And nobody asked for this. Garbage, yeah.
It's pure web garbage.
Yeah. Wow.
Can you remove that clutter from your life?
What a waste.
Just close them. What will happen?
Close.
Goodbye. Close. Gone.
Close.
But it's silly that they auto-open. Doesn't make any sense.
I know. So if I want to open another one, just boop, boop.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I don't either.
It's a recent thing.
It's new?
Yeah.
Well, so yesterday you heard my frustration and anger because every Windows computer is the same, right? Click on that lower right-hand corner and it brings you up the calendar.
Yeah.
Right? It's a very quick way to find a calendar. Not this machine. Oh, no. It
doesn't have time. It doesn't tell time.
It shows time and the date. But when I click on it, it just tells me, I don't know. It's like some weird setting was put. It's like there's a new Windows and I don't like it. I want old Windows.
I don't like change.
Also, I don't like change.
Yeah. It's hard.
Take me back to the good old days.
Yeah. Before the computer. No.
The same thing in every iteration, you should expect it to do the same thing, right?
Naturally.
Every other computer I bet in this room, if I click that lower right-hand corner, a calendar will pop up. But not this one. Makes no sense to me.
I have trouble because at home, we're Apple people. So
God, that's like speaking two languages.
I know. I'm bilingual, basically, is what I'm telling you. I'm humble bragging. No, I am not humble bragging.
Did you teach Babbel? Or did Babbel teach you how to talk to Apple?
I had to do Apple Babbel.
Apple Babbel?
So I could figure out how to do my computer
at home.
Tell you
about my pajamas. Tell you about my pajamas.
And everything's just a little bit different. So I'm like, how do I get to the calendar on an Apple? I'm like, I don't even know right now. I'll have to.
And it's even a little different on your phone, which is also all Apple, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Apple Babbel.
Apple Babbel. That's kind of fun.
That's fantastic.
I think that's a product they should sell.
Or we could.
Apple Babbel.
Why don't we take it? Don't give it to them. That's ours.
Well, I didn't know since it was their product.
Well, that's true.
Two products that aren't ours and we're slamming them together and I'm like, it's ours.
We said it first. Apple Babbel.
I can't wait for our court date.
Hold on. Trademark. There. See now. Is that how it works?
I don't think we have a strong case, but we have a case.
We have, I don't know. Could you imagine going up against Babbel's lawyers, let alone Apple's lawyers?
No.
The Apple legal team?
No. And our lawyers is us, kind of dressed up nice.
We do jury to hurry, people.
We argue cases all the time.
I'm just going to wear a short sleeve shirt and a tie. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that nice enough?
Every now and then, I'll just get up and stand up and say, Your Honor, nuh-uh. Do you object? No,
I
don't like what he said. I think that we would do quite well.
We should just move to have the case dismissed every opportunity we get.
We're going
to
end up owing them so much money, though.
Point of order. Can we have this dismissed now?
You're dismissed.
All right.
It's not going to go well.
I can't wait to go to California with you and go to a court of actual law and get sued by Apple. This is going to be fun.
Okay, Apple Babbel. Here we go.
The Apple Babbel lawsuit.
Our next big venture / lawsuit. Look for it in the oven.
Try not to get fired, fined, and put in jail Wednesday is our new segment.
Raise the stakes every time, baby. Raise the stakes. And this is, I know Father's Day is Sunday, and I was all ready to talk to you about free gifts that you can give dad for Father's
Day.
Yeah. However, the story about this mother is insane. And do you mind?
I'm sorry. I'm here till 10.
Dad's everywhere. I'm really sorry. I wanted to give you a second. but no. There is a woman who gave birth in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
In the bathroom of a Taco Bell.
Okay.
Did not know that she was pregnant.
I don't believe that.
Apparently at the end of the story, they said that there is a rare condition where it's, you cannot tell.
All right.
And she suffered from this condition. She is a nurse. I know.
Stop it.
This is the most unlikely of things. She is a nurse. She works at a care facility, and she stopped to get her client some food, wanted some food. So she goes in and she's like, oof, my stomach, something is not right. So she went to the bathroom. And apparently it's one of those, like, I've got the key, I locked it up, and I'm the only person in here. And then she calls her husband. She's like, something is not right. I do not feel well. I need you to send like an ambulance because I am not well. I am not okay in this Taco Bell.
And I'm a nurse and I know this.
Yeah. I have locked myself in a Taco Bell bathroom and things are not going great. All of a sudden, she gets quiet. And he's like, are you still there? Are you still there? She's like, I just had a baby. And he's like, what? What? No way. So like motherly instincts kick in, or like nursing instincts.
Yeah, all of the instincts.
She wraps the baby in a shirt. The baby has the umbilical cord around its neck. She unwraps it, saves the baby.
Her baby.
And then they both realize, why are we still on the phone? Call the ambulance. I just told you to call it. So he calls, the ambulance gets there. Meanwhile, the employees of the Taco Bell have no idea what's going on in their bathroom. A whole set of emergency personnel get there. They're like, where's the lady having the baby? And they're like, huh?
What?
Well, we have no idea what you're talking about. So they go back there. They have to like get the door in, and mom and baby are okay. The Taco Bell employees kindly got the lady who was waiting in the car.
I was going to ask, what about the client from the client nursing facility? Did she get food?
She did. She got home. She got her food.
Good.
Like, everybody's okay. And mom and baby are doing well. Mom and dad are overjoyed.
It's technically a Father's Day story.
Yes.
He wasn't a father when she went into Taco Bell.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Thanks to the father sending the emergency personnel. Mom and baby, everybody's okay.
She didn't know she was pregnant.
Didn't know. Didn't know.
It's crazy.
It's a wild story. Welcome, baby Taco Bell.
What's its name, Gordita?
Ayana. Ayana some Taco Bell.
Ayana Gordita.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Well, the only thing worse than embarrassing yourself is when there's witnesses to your embarrassment.
Totally.
Which yesterday is just so unfortunate. And these things happen. But we are celebrating. My daughter, Audrey, and I, we went to the bank first, and we set up an account for her so she can have a teen account.
That is awesome.
Yeah. She's going to get a little debit card, and she's got to learn financial responsibility, and they will reward her for milestones that she makes. Like, she can earn money for getting her driver's permit.
This is great.
Then getting her license, graduating from high school. Let them know those milestones and they will pay you.
I remember getting a checkbook, I think, in high school. And yeah. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
It is. Yeah. And she feels very mature, very grown up. So we're like, yes, financial responsibility. And I was like, let's go get coffee.
Let's do more adult things.
So we did. So we went real quick through the drive-thru. And, you know, we talked through the little speaker to the barista. We get our order, which is almost identical. We both got iced chai lattes, but she likes hers with a little extra sweetness. Mm-hmm. So she wanted 2 pumps caramel in hers, and I just want mine plain. So we talk to the little speaker box, and we drive around. And the lady at the window is like, okay. She's getting my change. She hands me the drinks. And as she's handing me the drinks, I'm looking to check.
Which one's which?
Which one's which. And I'm not looking at her face.
The checkout barista?
The barista lady's okay. face. I'm looking at the drinks. And as I'm looking at the drinks, she says, what you drinking? And I'm like, well, I'm looking because she's got caramel in hers and I didn't want caramel. So which one is which? Oh, it's this one. I hand it back to her. So I'm like, so I might have to try hers and see if I like caramel in this drink. And I look over at barista lady and she is also the lady who is speaking with the headset on.
No.
She is not talking to me.
Not at all.
It was so cringe. And my daughter is watching it all happen. She's like, oh my God. Oh, mom. Oh. We both died of embarrassment that day.
I thought it was odd that the barista who's handing you the beverage would then ask you what you're drinking.
I also find it
but
odd.
But yet you wanted to answer her.
Now.
Or him.
In the moment, it made sense. What you drinking? Like, what's the deal with the caramel and the iced chai? Because chai is already a flavor.
Making any sense.
Well.
That is so cringe.
So cringe.
You guys were having such a good day.
Yeah.
You way to ruin it.
And then we had plans to hang out later, and then the plans changed. So weird. So weird.
Nah, I'm good, Mom. Thanks.
Nah, I've had enough for today. Good day.
Look up banking instead.
See you tomorrow.
Oh. That's a bonding moment gone bad.
It was.
Bad bonding.
So bad.
I'm getting ready to leave the house this morning. It's about 4:30. And I'm saying goodbye to the dogs because I'm not going to see them for a week and a day, right?
Oh,
vacation time, right?
They're going to the kennel.
I know. I'm like, I got to get a little puppy smooch.
Hey, sweet boys.
Got to get a little puppy smooch from both of you. Got to like talk you into kissing me in the face. Okay, we finally. And
Kinston, my face is over here.
Hey, blind and dumb one.
Oh.
Hey, we're over here. And right as I'm going into Roland for just a little bit of on the forehead, he likes the forehead. Why it's sweaty and salty. we hear, like, there's a clear
knock.
Or something was dropped. We couldn't quite tell. Both dogs start barking. Again, 4:30. I'm trying to shush them up. And then I have to, you've been in my house. I have to turn a corner and you have to kind of prepare what you're going to see because you don't know what you're going to see.
Yeah.
Am I going to see somebody standing there? I've had this happen before at another house where somebody was clearly lost and drunk.
Oh, dear.
And needed some help.
And that so is, they knocked on your door?
Yeah, just try to figure out where they were. And it wasn't that.
Okay, good.
It was an Amazon delivery.
What?
At 4:30 in the morning.
What?
There's a box sitting by the front door. I watched the Amazon person, clearly vested in their Amazon wear, get in their personal vehicle, and then move on to whatever else they're doing.
What?
Is it that?
4:30?
4:30. That what? Seems to violate a company rule.
Ah.
Right? It's not that we needed that thing that quickly either. It's just, I'm guessing that person's a warehouse person leaving their job or going to their job.
And get it done now so I don't have to do it later?
I guess so. It was, that's never happened. What? Amazon delivery at 4:30 in the morning at my house.
That is, yeah.
Bonkers.
Was it something you really needed before you left though?
It's for Shannon. I don't even know what it is.
It's not even for me. I don't even care.
The Johnson County Sheriff's Office called to Lake McBride yesterday afternoon about 3 o'clock. After somebody jumped in the water and not resurfaced, a dive team was immediately dispatched. The body of an adult male was recovered about 4:15, pronounced dead last night. The name of that man has not been released. State officials approving the purchase of an industrial property northwest of the Iowa Capitol. They're going to take all of the buildings of the Iowa Department of Public Safety and combine them into one building for the Iowa Department of Public Safety. It's really a 2-building complex, so they're going to have a vehicle storage facility, a warehouse for supplies. They're going to have a squad car shop. It's all going to be one location. $10.8 million to purchase and renovate that for Iowa Public Safety. Let's give you some sports shorts. Former Hawkeye Molly Davis will now be known as Coach Davis after accepting a job to coach as a grad assistant for the Purple Aces of the University of Evansville in Indiana.
Woohoo!
Molly's winning pedigree, hard work, basketball IQ, and a few really, really strong references from the Iowa women's basketball team helped her secure the position of grad assistant. The Purple Aces are in the same conference as you and I and Drake, so we should see her on the side court.
Cool.
Coming up basketball season when the women's team will travel to play the Panthers or the Bulldogs.
I read this, I think, somewhere on social media, but I didn't know what a grad assistant, like what are duties are like?
You're more there to be mentored to learn how to coach.
Oh,
you'll have some, like as they're
she's
doing.
She's not an assistant coach. She's
not drawing up plays.
Okay.
She's probably not strategizing.
But she's helping with drills and she's helping with.
She's probably passing the ball back.
Yeah.
Right? She's helping stretch them. She is sitting in on game film, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then learning how to do that from the coaching side, not from the player's side.
That is so neat.
It's a great first step as you have to work your way up the coaching ladder. Let's wrap up with what's got us feeling all right, which includes a world record possibility in Cedar Rapids in the form of a shoe drive. So His Hands Free Clinic is conducting a shoe drive fundraiser starting on Monday, the 17th, to raise money for no-cost healthcare for uninsured and underinsured individuals. It's not that they want new shoes to give to people. They'll take any shoes.
Any shoes?
They work with another nonprofit, and then that nonprofit pays by the pound and then distributes those shoes to countries where they desperately need them.
Oh my gosh.
So that's how it works. The goal is to collect 22,000 pairs of shoes in about a week. Starts on Monday. Everything's going to go through the Westminster Presbyterian Church, 3rd Avenue, Southeast Cedar Rapids.
Okay.
So you go to the church.
Oh, yeah, right
big,
there.
Big bins of shoes. You drop them off. They, it'd be nice that they could still be worn somewhere, but you're not wearing them anymore.
Right.
They, you can go buy brand new if you want to.
Well, and are, is it like adult, kids?
Shoes.
Everybody.
If okay. it's a shoe, it counts.
Awesome, because
all
kids
donated shoes go to a separate
best.
Charity. Yes, exactly. If you've got a ton of like stuff that the kid wore maybe a year tops, because
yes.
they keep, you know what, they keep growing.
I just bought some in the spring and I was like, you'll wear these this summer. Nope. Wrong.
And then ideally, if they can get more than 22,000 pairs based on what they've been researching, that would be a world record. So that's the attempt. World record, most donated pairs of shoes, but
Let's
we got to hit
go.
Higher than 22,000, all benefiting his hands-free clinic. That's got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
All four members of REM got back together and sat down for their first TV interview in 30 years.
My God.
Yeah. They broke up in 2011 and nobody kind of knew what the cause was. It was just, you know, we're done after hit, after hit, after hit. What could break a band like that up? And they opened up about it on CBS this morning.
So we're not going to see them on the road anytime soon.
Well, we just did. They just got inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame last night, and they did an acoustic version of Losing My Religion. So they got back together a little bit?
To be in that room and not knowing that was going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so cool.
It's very cool. But I love how relatable that is. Like, have you ever just not been able to agree what we're doing for dinner?
Totally. And that's just usually me and Shannon.
Yes.
You've got, I think the band is at least four. And there's so many just dynamics of a group in that.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And egos and...
They've got it all figured out now. I don't know if that's going to like hammer things out, but maybe this is the start of something beautiful.
See where I, maybe they finished last night. Like that was kind of fun. Maybe we should do that again.
I enjoyed that. Let's continue making music together.
Let's see what happens.
We'll see. Not making music together. Gisele Bündchen and her jiu-jitsu instructor, Joaquin Valente. They broke up and it's kind of Tom Brady's fault. Sounds like. Tom Brady's roast. There was a lot of jokes at his expense about like Gisele and getting together with her jiu-jitsu instructor. So he called it off, Joaquin. He said he's just a regular guy and he was getting a lot of attention after this. And then you add the jokes on top of it. Like not only are you dating one of the most beautiful women in the world, now you're also kind of a joke.
You're also being roasted a little bit.
Exactly.
Right?
People were asking him if they got together like before the divorce, if he's the reason they got divorced, and he hated all of those questions. So it's like, we're just going to have to go our separate ways. And now you got Gisele, who's kind of mad at Tom, I mean, for everything, but also now this.
For being roasted?
For agreeing to the roast that then ended her relationship.
I don't know. You guys all live in the public eye. There's certain things, there's certain liberties you give up, right?
I'm so sorry. Joaquin was one of them. Jiu-jitsu was one of them.
Also, I'm pretty sure you were married when you started getting lessons, shall we say?
Possibly. Okay. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Sunday.
Hollywood Reporter put together their list for what they deemed to be the best and worst dads on television. They didn't rank anybody, but they kind of gave like a little explanation behind each one.
Just what column are they in?
Yeah.
Good or bad?
Good or bad dad. Good. I think we can all agree. Danny Tanner from Full House. Single dad. Three girls. Bring in some more guys to help him out. I mean, that's just wholesome.
And it was a very wholesome house there on the postcard row.
Yes.
In San Francisco.
And they just, you know, sit down on the bed. Let's talk it out.
Yeah.
That's just, it's so wholesome.
A lot of life lessons were learned in that show.
I don't think there's any surprise that in contrast to Danny Tanner, you got Tony Soprano. Not a great dad. He's a little busy.
He's in the mob. Didn't really have good values, perhaps.
No.
Right.
No. once kicked out his daughter's boyfriend for not being Italian. So
not the best dad.
Not the best dad. But interestingly, making the list twice in both best and worst dad categories is Ed O'Neill. You remember him as Al Bundy from Married with Children first.
So that's a bad dad.
Bad dad. No, not as attentive as he could be. A little lazy. Not a great dad. But a great dad in Modern Family.
I never put him up against him. So I've never considered that before.
Ed O'Neill versus Ed O'Neill. Yeah. Who you got?
Dad versus dad.
Dad versus dad. Way better. And actually, he shares that with all of the dads. They said all the dads on Modern Family were good dads. So congrats, Ed O'Neill. And I'm sorry, I guess.
And sorry, Ed O'Neill.
That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
On this 24th week of the year 2024, broadcasting from an elevation of 840 feet above sea level at a latitude of 41.88 degrees north and longitude of 91.72 degrees west. After taking a week off, this is Nerd News.
Woo!
Why in God's name would you move 20,000 cicadas?
Yeah, that's a great question. And also, follow-up question, where are you putting them?
Johnson County.
No! No!
A group of college students is trying to reintroduce cicadas in parts of Johnson County.
Why?
Researchers from Berkeley are in Iowa studying the insect and noting that human land use from the 1900s pushed some of the cicadas out of their natural environments. So they're relocating McBride Nature Recreation Area cicadas to an undisclosed forested location in Johnson County.
Undisclosed?
Yeah, they're not saying where they're putting the 20,000 cicadas.
They're in witness protection?
Apparently, and then they will come out in 17 years. This is the brood that comes out every 17. So, first of all...
Is this California's revenge? What's going on?
I don't. Well, Berkeley, they're science. It's science, Claire.
No, it's not. It's for science. Anything to do with that, it's science.
Why, why would California have our number?
I don't know.
What did we do to them?
Rose Bowl? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a motive. I just have a suspect.
20,000 cicadas. Now in a new part of Johnson County because that's where they used to live.
So they're relocating, but they're still in Johnson County. It's just a not here, there.
Exactly. They're not here, they're there. Yes. Okay. So they got 20,000 little moving trucks.
I should just calm down.
No, it's still like, just let them be where they are.
Yeah.
Just so you know where to avoid. Now you have two areas you have to avoid.
Leave them be. And undisclosed? Why undisclosed?
I think that adds a little fun and mystery. Because sometimes science isn't fun and mysterious. So let's do it that way.
Ooh.
A town about 9.5 hours from Cedar Rapids considering erecting the tallest building in the United States. You want to take a shot?
9.5 hours?
Yeah. So it's not Chicago. I'll give you this. It's not Chicago. It's not Minneapolis. It's not Detroit. It's not Kansas City. It's not St. Louis.
It's not.
You got to go one ring further.
Further back, like Cleveland?
And I think Denver's too far. I think Indianapolis.
Yeah, Indianapolis?
Oklahoma City.
Really?
The tallest building in the U.S. and the world's sixth tallest building, if completed, will be in Oklahoma City.
What do you mean, if completed?
Well, city council, so you got a couple steps. You pitch it. Town's like, we got a requirement or a height rule.
Oh, yeah.
They've suspended that. So now the builder, who, when you're building something of this size, it's going to take a lot of money, right?
Yes.
So that is the next step. If constructed, the Legends Tower would be 1,907 feet tall, more than double the tallest building right now in Oklahoma City. If you want a comparison, take the Alliant Energy Tower in Cedar Rapids and stack it up 7 times. That's how big this thing's going
to
be.
But like, is it just to do it or does it have a purpose?
It's just to do it.
I don't know. This seems wasteful and ridiculous.
I saw the river. I crossed it. Why? Because it was there.
It was there.
Well, it would give them, I guess, a tourist, right? Like, come see the world's tallest building or the U.S.'s tallest building. Presently, tallest building in the U.S. is the One World Trade Center in New York City at 1,776 feet. So
let them have it.
Watch this. I kind of like the concept of progress.
Yeah.
But
I want the spaces used.
Stick out like a sore thumb, though.
Exactly.
Right? You're going to see that as you drive into Oklahoma. It's kind of like when you see the Arch or Willis Tower when you drive into Chicago.
Yeah.
But then you're just looking up like, huh, I wonder what's in there.
It's way taller than the tallest building already. Like, whoa, it's going to look weird.
Researchers have discovered a very human-like habit among elephants. Scientists say elephants give each other names.
What?
New research suggests elephants give each other names. Female African savanna elephants use individually distinct calls to address other elephants by name.
Out loud.
Out loud.
Oh.
Most elephants recognize the grunt and immediately respond. Researchers say it's completely previously known to only occur in humans, that we name things and we then respond to the name. Completely changes how they're going to view language. So next question.
Okay.
If you're a baby elephant, does she grunt your first, middle, and last name?
When mom's mad at the elephant, do they still call full name?
Dumbo Cornelius Jr. Babar Winston Wellington.
Babar. Yes.
Peanuts Theobald Hansen. Get your trunk in here right now, mister.
Come back to these exact coordinates next week, nerds, for Nerd News on Z102.9.
Welcome back to the studio, Big Hutch.
Big Hutch is here.
Jacob is here.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
How's your morning going?
Pretty good.
When did you wake up?
Woke up like probably 30 minutes ago.
30 minutes or three?
30.
That's 7 o'clock on a Friday morning. That's not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I'm usually a night owl. I don't really wake up that early, actually. Yeah.
But
every time we've had you come in, though, you've been early.
I was just going to point, you're always on time. Is that the military background?
It's the military. We have soft time and hard time. Like, soft time is like 10 minutes before, and hard time is like the time.
So when we tell you what, be here at blah, that's hard time, and then you add soft time in your head?
Yeah, a little bit.
Ladies, this man.
Oh, my gosh.
This man.
I love that.
Okay. Tomorrow, Farmer's Market. You and I have worked a couple already. We worked the really rainy one. And then we worked the very first one where we got slammed on balloons. We're getting really excited, though, because not only will we be there, Z102.9, as we do every Saturday with the downtown Cedar Rapids Farmers Market, this is an opportunity, Big Hutch, I think, for us to kind of watch you in the wild. We're going to be kind of like field, like National Geographic. We'll be there, but you won't know we'll be there.
We know that the raw material is here. We're working with a great project, but I want to see kind of what your conversational skills are. What's your game? Like, if someone was to approach you, how do you play that? And so we thought we can kind of observe, sit back and observe at the Cedar Rapids Downtown Farmers Market.
Okay. But we may have teaching opportunities, parental moments, where Claire and I might step in and say, maybe you should ask her this, or maybe you should change the conversation away from.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Just don't be surprised if we want to course correct you in real time. You good with that?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll know it's time to change it. We'll say, don't say that. It'll sound like a cough.
Yeah. New topic.
Change topic.
Now,
excuse me.
You've been taking acting classes now for a while, right?
Yes, I have.
Do you feel like you're more in character with a prop or a costume on? I hear among actors, if you are in costume or if you have a prop in your hand, you can kind of find the character faster. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like this prop defines my character.
Yes.
My character always has business with his jacket. He's always adjusting his jacket. It kind of helps you build the character.
Yeah.
Claire would like to prepare you with a prop for Saturday at the farmer's market.
I was in my backyard last night and I thought something that I think is a very hot item.
Looks like
this
celery.
This time of year.
It does look like celery.
It looks like celery, but it's actually, this is rhubarb. And I want you, I thought maybe as a prop, you could have some rhubarb at the farmer's market. And then like somebody could approach you and be like, oh, cool. Where'd you get that rhubarb? You're like, oh yeah, rhubarb. And then you could have a conversation about rhubarb.
What do you know about rhubarb?
I know nothing.
You know nothing about rhubarb?
I know nothing about
rhubarb. Before, right
like,
now?
What is your favorite rhubarb thing?
Have you ever seen rhubarb before, right now?
No. Like it's not like a hot topic at my house, I guess. That's why I've never heard
rhubarb
of it.
Rhubarb doesn't come up at your
I'm
house?
Sorry. What? What do you guys talk about? Then what are you spending
what
all your
you
time
doing?
Isn't a part of it poisonous?
The leaf, but I'm talking about the stock,
oh,
Jacob.
Leaf is poisonous.
You be the acting coach. Tell him how to hold the rhubarb and how to use the rhubarb as a prop.
First I want to be.
Don't take rhubarb personally, Claire.
I am taking it personally. This is such an Iowa treat. It's a vegetable that we treat like a fruit. It's a beautiful item.
You put it in pie, kolaches.
Yes.
And other lovely desserts. Rhubarb.
Crisps.
Yeah.
Put
it on ice cream.
I've had different pie. I just never had rhubarb pie.
You've never had rhubarb?
I know, I guess. My family's never made it.
I don't know what to...
Calm.
I'm so upset.
I can tell.
I need
okay, I'm going to hit pause.
What?
Can you take a call?
I don't know what to do with this.
Jacob, can you hang out for maybe 10 more minutes?
I guess.
Okay.
As long as she doesn't kill me.
We're going to get... Ben, get the hose! Let's get...
How is he?
Stop it!
Is he even in Ireland?
Yes! Do not let this disrupt his summer of love, Claire.
I'm sorry.
I know your love for rhubarb seems to be taking over his lack of love. But we're going to get there. Okay.
This is so hard for me. Okay.
We're going to reset with the rhubarb next on the Morning Scramble. Calm down.
I can't.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
We are learning so much about Big Hutch, Jacob.
This is fun.
Here behind the scenes, which I think is going to help us best prepare him as the best self of him when we introduce him soft opening tomorrow.
Soft opening.
Because he'll be working for us, for the radio station, as part of the Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance Farmers Market. A lot of responsibilities with the balloons and making sure people are signing up for prizes. But there will be some downtime.
Oh, yeah.
And downtime is connection time.
Absolutely. We are looking to make some early love connections. We want to see what kind of banter, how, Jacob, that you might talk to somebody, maybe pick up somebody.
Do you like small talk in general?
I do like small talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your usual go-to? Like the weather or culture?
I probably do like what's going around on around me, or maybe I make observations about them, or like, oh, it's like, oh, how was your day at work? Or like, okay. Or like, oh, nice shirt. Or like, oh, that's pretty cool. Or
okay.
Nice hair. I don't know. I make
compliments.
I make observations.
Okay.
Observational first. That's his first salvo,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Make an observation.
Which is good. That's a good icebreaker. It kind of eases the tension.
Are you waving rhubarb at me?
I'm using a prop.
Now, okay. In front of Jacob is a bag of Claire-grown rhubarb.
Here you go.
And that will be yours to use when you feel like it's the right time tomorrow at the farmer's market. Claire, how are you envisioning the prop being used as Big Hutch is making small talk?
I thought maybe somebody might come up and say, oh, rhubarb, cool. I've never had it. What's it like, Big Hutch?
What would you say to that?
It's like, well, I'll tell you, I just took a big chunk out of it myself. It's very tart, but I hear it's good in like pies and shakes.
Oh, really?
I will try it one day.
Yeah? Maybe we could try it together.
That'd be nice.
Whoa, that excited.
What's your availability next week?
Oh, that's great.
He went for the
clothes early.
I liked that. That was great.
Do you feel that rhubarb just gave you that confidence?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
By the power of rhubarb.
By the power of rhubarb. Okay.
Eric, you go. You role play. You pretend that you're approaching.
Oh, I'm doing it too?
Do you need some rhubarb in your hand?
Yes, I do, because I need to make sure, like, I'm going to compare. Okay.
Okay. So just you're walking up to the Z102.9 tent, and here's Big Hutch.
Wow, it looks like your stock is bigger than mine. How's that?
This is weird.
I would just laugh.
No, that's not a... Well, you might get a weird one.
You know what? He's not wrong. You might get a weird one. React, Hutch, react.
Wow, your stocks are bigger than mine.
Do you know what this is? Neither do I.
Is this rhubarb?
I think so. Recently was told it's rhubarb.
I recently purchased mine at the vendor around the corner.
Oh.
Where did you get yours?
I got it from Claire at Z102.9, locally grown by her.
Wow. Do you want to share rhubarb together?
Of course.
If I start on this end and you start on that end and you want to meet in the middle?
We could do Lady and Tramp it.
Lady and Tramp it!
Yes! Rhubarb! Okay,
yes!
I think we're ready.
He can close the deal.
I think we're ready.
I love it.
All right, be on the lookout because he's looking for you. He's looking for love. The soft opening, Big Hutch on the prowl tomorrow. Farmer's Market, Z102.9.
It's the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
Z102.9.
You've been running hither and yon. You good?
Hither and dither and yeah.
Over the river and through the woods?
Gathering up all of the useless knowledge I possibly can.
I wondered if you had left some in the office.
I did, and so I got my folder.
You ready to go?
For summer. Yeah.
Wheel of Useless Knowledge. Yeah. Spin number one.
Go. It's a good spin.
Spin, spin, spin.
Good spinny spin, spin, spin.
It's because I took a bite of rhubarb. Spin, spin, spin.
Powered by rhubarb.
And eight.
Number eight.
Folder eight.
This is maybe something. These would be perfect for Big Hutch to use at the Cedar Rapids Farmers Market.
Are these like opening lines?
Could be. Just
okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Icebreakers?
The term dog days of summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dog days of summer. It's not about dogs lying around because it's so hot.
What is it?
It's about a star. Sirius. It's called the dog star, and its position in the sky, because that's when summer is.
Not as fun.
Not as much fun.
I like dogs laying around because it's hot.
I do too.
So that's the one I'm still going to hold on to.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Go ahead. It's your choice.
Thank you for the fact.
Yeah. It's.
I'm not denying it.
No,
I just don't like it.
It's a true fact that nobody likes.
We're going to go to 7.
Oh, great. Here's another one you're probably not going to like. you know how sometimes there's a word and Americans spell it one way and British people like throw a U in color?
Favorite.
Favorite has a U.
Color. Like, yes.
What are you guys doing? Well, there is one person to blame. Noah Webster.
Oh, I thought like the guy with the ark? No.
No.
The dictionary guy.
No, no.
Noah Webster.
Noah Webster of Merriam-Webster Dictionary fame. He is the reason why Americans spell things different than the original British spelling. There's already some discrepancies as people are crossing the pond, and they decided to have a spelling reform to distance America away from the British standard.
So we did it on purpose.
We did it on purpose to be different on purpose. So a lot of the CE words that took effect, like defense, offense, pretense, dropped the U from words like humor and color. And there's no K on music.
Like adding Z's in place of S's? All us?
That's
all
us.
Noah Webster?
Yeah, but there's some things that got rejected, like changing tongue. T-O-N-G-U-E to T-U-N-G. That didn't take.
Tongue.
Tug. And women was going to be W-I-M-M-E-N.
It was not.
Women.
Going swimming with women.
Island wasn't going to have an S in it. It was just going to be I-land.
No! This is the guy in charge of the dictionary?
Yeah. And thumb has no B because you don't need it.
That's true.
Thumb.
All right, final spin.
Final spin.
One more time around.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
You got money on this one?
Yeah. I'm trying to get action wherever I can.
I need to buy groceries.
Mama needs to buy some groceries. Come on.
Do you mind going back to 8 again? Because 8 came up.
I have to do with the wheel
set. You got to go where the wheel ends.
It's fine.
Right, back to 8.
Back to 8. Did you know the Michelin man has a name?
That big tire guy?
Yeah.
What is it?
All like puffy, fluffy?
Yeah.
It's not either of those names.
Bouncy.
His name is...
Roly-poly.
Bibbendum.
What is it?
Bibbendum.
Did Noah Webster name him? Bibbendum?
Let's blame Noah Webster. Bibbendum.
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 It sounds like a weird kingdom
it's
in
like,
England.
His name is...
Dumb. Why? Okay. Is that something...
I don't have the why. There is no why.
You don't have a why?
There is no why.
But when I see the Michelin sign
why,
next time,
why?
What am I going to say? Oh, look, there goes...
There goes...
Dumb. Oh, hey. How about one more out of 8?
In China.
Uh-huh.
You know, once again, different cultures.
Yes.
In America, we call the chain, the restaurant chain, Hooters.
Yes, we do.
In China, they refer to it as the American Owl Restaurant.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble Podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9.
Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.